Pick Six Podcast, off-season edition. I've heard good and bad things about my co-host, Ryan Wilson. and I don't think you got that, did you? Anyway, we got Lance Zierlein out of Houston, a big Steelers guy in the know as well. We'll talk to him about the new offensive coordinator, Todd Haley. We'll talk about Ben Roethlisberger hearing good and bad things about Todd Haley. We'll hit the odds on Peyton Manning. Vegas has some interesting odds. We'll talk about what Mike Freeman has to say about it as well. And then we'll bounce around the NFL, where the Raiders cut Stanford Rout and are preparing to just dissect their defense. Apparently, Bill's looking to extend Fred Jackson and much, much more. Ryan Wilson, what's up?
I'm doing good and bad. I didn't get your joke, but I'm sure it was funny to somebody.
Ben Roethlisberger said he's heard good and bad things about Todd Haley. Before we get to that, I mean, who says that, though? I mean, why? I don't even get it.
Someone who is very honest and not very smart. That's
yes.
It.
An honest, stupid man or a stupid, honest man. They can be the same thing. We'll talk, let's talk about the Steelers cleared up nearly $12 million when they restructured the contracts of Lamar Woodley and Lawrence Timmons. I feel like they do this every year. Am I wrong?
It's weird because people always complain that the Steelers don't spend a lot of money when, in fact, they do spend a lot of money. And they are so far over the cap they were at the end of the season that they're going to have to – they've already cut Brian McFadden and Ernest Battle, which saved them a few bucks. And now they're restructuring basically everybody's contract so they can save a few more bucks. And they're actually making some headway. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they were 20-something million over before we found out what the new salary cap's going to be. And they – I think they've saved – maybe $12 million.
Yeah, $11.7 million, I believe. That's a report according to Florio at Pro Football Talk. He says he's gotten a hold of the contracts, and they'll save $11.7 million.
And I think they're still going to restructure a few more. I'm not sure if Roethlisberger has been restructured yet, but he's
restructured like every offseason for the past 5 years.
Well, they don't care. They still get their money. It just changes their base salary. But, so that's the plan. And Roethlisberger will have a new offensive coordinator, not his buddy Bruce Arians, which I have long – look, I'm not a Bruce Arians supporter. I was fine with him.
I should interrupt you to point out this is not the Steelers Lounge podcast. For those listening, this is actually the Pick Six podcast. But it is Steelers heavy today.
Yeah, well, Haley, Haley got hired on Thursday officially. We knew about it on Wednesday. We talked about it in the last podcast. And I thought immediately of Lance Zierlein because his dad was the offensive line coach for Tomlin during Tomlin's first 3 years in Pittsburgh. So Lance knows a lot about the inner workings of the Steelers. And he still keeps up with them pretty closely. I've seen him tweet about it all the time. He does sports talk radio in Houston. He also blogs for the Houston Chronicle along with our good buddy Stephanie Stradley. So he kind of has a pulse of what's going on. And he follows fantasy football really closely. That's just advice to you because I know you need it. So anyway.
Actually, I'm participating in an experts draft at 3:00. Thank you.
I'm laughing because when you said expert, it just reminded me of the commenter who was calling you out for being the worst expert in CBS sports the 2011 season. Weren't you the worst?
I think I was like the worst expert in football.
Oh, that's right. The Deadspin, like I forgot about that. Yeah,
I wasn't like worst like bang for the buck, but I was worst in terms of overall record. I'll get better next year.
Hey, somebody, look. You know what? The last guy in medical school who graduates last is he's still a doctor. You're still an expert.
Exactly.
So anyway, so I talked to Lance for 15 or so minutes on Thursday. He was absolutely awesome. He had a lot of insights and something I think you should listen to.
All right. Well, we'll go to that and then we'll come back and I'll tell you why you're an idiot for hating Todd Haley.
All right. I'm happy to welcome Lance Zierlein to the podcast. He is a sports talk host in Houston, a football blogger for the Houston Chronicle. He co-owns thesidelineview.com. And according to your Twitter bio, Lance, you have an awesome wife and 5 kids. How's it going?
It's going good. As a matter of fact, just had to situate 4 of the 5. So, that in and of itself, that in the 1 hour to get everyone ready for bed is, and the NFL draft and doing a mock draft, I mean, it takes up like an entire week, it seems like.
I have 2 kids. One's 5 months old. I have no idea how anyone on the planet could handle 5 kids. So my hat's off to you. The reason I reached out to you on Thursday is because you know an awful lot about the Steelers, even though you're situated in Houston. Your dad was the offensive line coach there for 3 years, I believe. I'm a huge Steelers homer. I don't make any secret about that. And there's been some changes on the offensive side of the ball in recent weeks. Arians was, quote-unquote, kind of put out the pasture, and then he sort of resurfaced with the Colts. And then a few days ago, the Steelers announced that Todd Haley was their new offensive coordinator. And I'll just give a quick overview to the listeners about how I decided to get in touch with you. I saw that you tweeted out the dynamic between Roethlisberger and Haley will be interesting. Haley – had a strong personality, so it might be what he needed. And I retweeted back to you and one of my good buddies, Steeler Bill, who's a bigger homer than I am. I said, I'll ask again, why does Ben need a strong personality? And you pointed out that Ben had walked all over Ken Anderson, and Bruce was too buddy-buddy with him. And you went on to say that if a coach knows that Ben is dropping 5.5 yards to 6 yards on a five-step drop, that he has to do something. And finally, you pointed out that if Ben's making incorrect protection calls or checking into bad plays, a coach has the right to jump in. I totally agree with the last part. My only issue with the 5.5 yard drop on a actual 5 yard drop is, given how Ben has played, is that the battle you want to fight, or is it a bigger issue with Ben and his relationship with the offensive coordinator?
I think it's a much bigger. I mean, that was a subset of a much bigger problem. I think the point I was trying to make was a very specific one to you, in that you have to have someone there who's not afraid to coach Ben up hard, who can get into Ben a little bit and chew on him a little bit. And I'm not sure that that's – I don't think that's been – I think it's been sorely lacking in Pittsburgh, quite frankly. And you have to have a relationship where a quarterback, even your best players, if you have to coach them up, you have to coach them up. And for all of Ben's plays, I think people have a tendency just to let a lot of things slide. And I think the Steelers really have let a lot of things slide over the years with Ben and kind of become enablers in a way where Ben, you know, certainly off the field for a while, not any longer from what I understand, and then on the field, well, as long as you make plays, that's fine. Well, as long as you make plays, that's fine. But at some point, you know, if you're calling poor protections, or if you're checking in the run plays that aren't working, or if you're you know, consistently making some technical problems that a quarterback shouldn't make as it pertains to a running game or protection or what, you know, the way he hooks up with wide receivers, these are things that need to be coached. And you can't have a wilting flower who's afraid to coach a quarterback, and you can't have a quarterback that's bigger than an organization. And I think that, you know, some of it is on Mike Tomlin. I think he inherited an interesting situation, a dynamic with Ben Roethlisberger, because he is, to me, in my opinion, he's the most dynamic playmaker in the game, the quarterback. And he's maybe not in the same in the package that you might be used to out of a playmaker, but that's what he is. But at the same time, you still have to be smart with your playmaking versus your everyday plays. And I think that's one of the things that gets lost with the Pittsburgh Steelers sometimes, is the average 2nd and 7 play, that when it comes time to gain the 3 yards or throw the ball away or whatever the case may be, there are times there's a disconnect between, you know, maybe what the Rooneys wanted, maybe even what Mike Tomlin wanted, and then what Ben and Bruce Arians wanted.
No, I agree basically with all of that. I do think Ben has been enabled pretty much since 2004 when he arrived. I'm not an apologist for Arians. My concern is that he has done a pretty good job. There are obvious issues with red zone scoring. I don't think anyone would argue with that. He's done a pretty good job in his time there. Depending on which numbers you look at, I look at Football Outsiders. The Steelers were top 10 offensively every year except 08, and 08 they ended up winning it. Let me ask you this, though. One of the concerns with changing things now is that Ben is comfortable in this system. He could stand to use a little more coaching up. I don't have any issues with that. But are we at all concerned that Haley is going to bring in a new offense? He said today on Thursday that he wants to bring in a clean slate, that this new offense might take time to install, and that's sort of kind of biting off your nose to spite your face.
Well, I don't know, because honestly, the Steelers need to bring their running game into this decade. The Steelers' running game is too old school, and I know a lot of Steelers fans are really worried that, well, if you get rid of Bruce Arians, then you know the Steelers are going to go back to 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And hey, I got news for you: your offensive line was a 3 yard in a cloud of dust offensive line anyway. That's too old school. I'm not a proponent of that at all. I think the first problem the Steelers have to address is the lack of athleticism on the offensive line. Max Starks, God bless him, the guy's a hard worker. He's done much better on the left side than anyone gave him credit for. Fact is, you need more athleticism at the left tackle spot, especially for the running game. I think Chris Kiwatu, I mean, I'm glad he can pull and knock you down, but he's not as good off, you know, driving off the ball. And honestly, he's not getting to the second level and making a whole lot of blocks either. So I think one of the first things Todd Haley will recognize is the importance of getting some type of outside running game going. And I don't mean a running back bouncing it outside. I mean outside zone. I mean plays that have lead blockers, that have offensive line who can pull and get out in front of a play that actually has a trail that leads outside of the tight end. and really stretching that field out. I think that's the first thing that's very important, is getting offensive linemen to fit what Todd Haley wants to do with the running game. And then from there, and honestly, I think Doug Ligurski fits. I think obviously Marquise Pouncey fits. You know, I'm a proponent personally, and me and my dad got in arguments, well, not arguments, but he disagreed with me on this, but I would rather see Willie Colon inside a guard. I think Willie's a better fit at guard than tackle, and he coached him. So, I mean, you know, I watched every Steeler game. We didn't always see eye to eye on that one. I know Willie got hurt last year. But I think one of the first things the Steelers have to do is become more athletic with their running game, and I think they need to get what I think is a real running game installed. And I think that's one of the first things Todd Haley will have to do. And you know what? That may take more than a year, but when you look at all the problems the Steelers have on the defensive side of the ball with age, I don't know that if I'm the Steelers, I'm panicking and saying, well, we got to keep that window of opportunity open next year. No, I think what you do is you're smart. You make a couple of changes on defense. You make some changes on offense. You do everything you can to win in the 2012 season within reason, and then you start to target 2013 as kind of a reload year where you think you can really make a big push to win the AFC again, because the fact is the Steelers wide receiver combination is the most deadly in pro football. There's no question about it in my mind.
I laughed, Lance. I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing with you, because I and a lot of other Steelers fans have been crying about moving Willie Colon in for years, and everyone just looks at us. Well, at least it seems like from the Steelers organization's point of view, just looks and laughs. I have no issue with him playing inside. I think Arian said at one point he was awful in terms of his his lateral mobility, but why not? I agree with you exactly on that. So let me ask you this, and there's been some speculation from the Pittsburgh media that, I mean, it was clear Tomlin said after the season that he expected Arians back, and then all this weird stuff sort of happened, and then he wasn't offered a new contract. And then one of the local columnists said that Haley may have been hired, may have been a Rooney hire, not a Tomlin hire. Do you think that would be an issue kind of going forward? Tomlin said all the right things at the press conference Thursday, but if that's not his guy, that seems like it could cause some friction, especially given sort of Haley's demeanor.
Yeah, he could. I mean, let's be honest about it. I don't know how involved Mike Tomlin was in that process. My guess is the Rooneys may have said, what do you think about this, Mike? But I don't think Mike went out and found Todd Haley. It's very rare for a head coach to go out and get a guy he's never worked with, and someone who is a former head coach and a strong personality. That just doesn't make any sense. Unless Mike Tomlin is the most secure coach that's ever coached pro football,
right.
That is something that simply doesn't happen. Hey, let me go get this coach from the Bill, you know, from the Bill Parcells family tree. Let me bring him in here and run my offense. That doesn't sound like it happened. Could that be a problem moving forward? Only if it bothers Mike Tomlin to the extent that he's already thinking of an exit strategy, and I think that'd be a big mistake.
Yeah.
You have a great quarterback. You have great wide receivers. Your running game needs to be, you know, addressed to where it's a more consistent threat. You don't have to become a cloud of dust team, but the Steelers need to be able to run the ball more consistently and when they want to. And that's simply from a chess standpoint. You've got to have an offense coordinator who can keep a defense on their toes by running when he wants to and passing when he wants to. And that's the point I always try to make about balance. Balance is being able to do what you want to headed into each game. You know, have a game plan. If it's going to be run heavy, then do that. If it's going to be pass heavy, then be able to do that. But the other thing is, you know, Mike has a pretty, I won't say a strong personality, but certainly a, you know, very well-respected defensive-minded Dick LeBeau over on that side of the ball. And he lets Dick LeBeau do what he wants to do. He runs a 34. Mike Tomlin was a 4-3 guy. It looked like Dick LeBeau was going to leave at one point, and, you know, all of a sudden that all changed, and here he is with the Steelers again. I saw Coach LeBeau at the Senior Bowl and talked to him for a little while, and didn't sound like he's headed out of there anytime soon either. So, although you have to wonder with Butler staying and turning down a chance to be the defense coordinator of the Colts, if maybe he's not the defensive coordinator in waiting. But I think it will be very interesting to see how hard Todd Haley coaches Ben, how Ben responds to it, and how Ben and maybe even Ben's agent respond to Mike Tomlin in turn. That's going to be the very interesting thing, is whether or not Mike Tomlin can really put his stamp on this team and say, this is my team, this is how I want it done. Because there was some, honestly, I've heard some sources there on the team have told me before, they still believe that Mike Tomlin wanted to run the ball more, and he didn't always get what he wanted. And that always was very shocking. But I know for a fact a couple of years ago, the Rooneys said, we're going to run the football more, and that's all mm-hmm. there is to it.
Right.
They want to run the football. Now, you know, running the football doesn't have to be you get a bunch of 350-pound guys and run as hard as you can between the tackles, but being able to run the football and impose your will, I think that's Steeler football more than the cloud of dust theory. I think imposing your will on both sides of the ball, like the Houston Texans did, you know, to the Steelers and to some other teams this
year,
it's a pretty unnerving feeling for another team when you are able to impose your will on either side or both sides of the ball. And I think that's what the Steelers would like to get back to.
Sort of related to this, and you mentioned Dick LeBeau, who seems to always be calm no matter the circumstances. Haley gives off the impression, and we've seen it from the way he's acted on the sidelines, to be the exact opposite. And you mentioned Ben Roethlisberger and his agent. How is that going to go over the first time that Haley goes off on Ben, or if Hines Ward happens to be still around, or someone else in the offense? How is that going to go over on the sidelines, given sort of the dynamic these veterans have built up over the years in a pretty much, you know, we like what you're doing sort of offense?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. I think it's the Steeler way is a veteran-led way. And I watched something happen with the Houston Rockets when Rudy Tomjanovich, who was the head coach, he left the Houston Rockets, and he had a lot of success with Hakeem Olajuwon, and I don't mean to cross sports here, but I saw something similar happen where Rudy had, you know, he trusted Hakeem Olajuwon and Mario Elie and Clyde Drexler and all these veterans. And then what ended up happening was he got a younger team, and he trusted them like veterans, and they kind of ran the team into the ground. But Jeff Van Gundy, who was much, much different from a personality standpoint than Rudy T. He came in, and eventually you just had to move some of those veterans out of there. I mean, there are certain guys who are not going to click with Todd Haley. I don't think there's any way that Todd Haley and Hines Ward, I think they could coexist, and I think Hines plays very hard. Hines Ward's a little bit of a diva. Mm-hmm. He likes his catches. He wants the ball. And based on what he did last year, I can't imagine that Hines Ward is super excited you know, about the prospects of next season. And I'm sure the Steelers would love for him to just retire a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yeah.
Unless Hines does that, you know, you're kind of stuck. I mean, you want the guy to go out on his own terms, but you'd like for them to be, you know, this year, so you could continue to work Emmanuel Sanders in as well. But honestly, I think there are going to be some veterans who have big problems with Todd Haley if he's the same Todd Haley we've seen at Dallas, in Arizona, and with the Kansas City Chiefs. And if that's the case, it's either going to have to be you stand by your offensive coordinator and, you know, you maybe move some of those veteran players out of there if they're not the same players they once were, or it could end up being a huge disaster in Pittsburgh. And that's what I tweeted. This. The element between Todd Haley and Mike Tomlin and then Todd Haley and the entire team, it bears watching. It could end up being a match made in heaven. It could also be just like it was in Kansas City, where it starts off good and then sours very quickly with Todd Haley thinking people are following him and helicopters and tapping his phone and all that crazy stuff.
Oh, God, you're reading my mind. All right, I'll ask you one last thing, Lance. Knowing what we know 2 days into this thing, how do you think the Steelers' offense looks next year? Do you think it'll be better than the 2011 offense under Bruce Arians?
Well, yeah, I think so. And here's what you have to remember. Bruce Arians, the numbers, they're all great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Todd Haley has been at the helm of some pretty good offenses too. And I don't think it takes a mastermind to be able to put together a successful passing game with those wide receivers and Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think that's the most difficult thing in the world. The offensive line should be hopefully healthier next year. This has been going on for the Steelers for about 3 years. They just can't stay healthy up front. And then, you know, you don't really know what's going to go on with Mendenhall next year and how he bounces back. So I wouldn't be shocked to see the Pittsburgh Steelers maybe take a look at a different style, maybe a running back who's a little bit more of a slash-type back, the same way that Jamaal Charles is one of those quick-cut backs. They might want to find a back a little bit like that as well, maybe a younger Mwelde Moore type. But I think the Pittsburgh Steelers offense is going to be fine. This year's version, for all the yardage they put up there, they really didn't hang the points up that we're used to. So, to me, if the Pittsburgh Steelers can be a little bit more efficient in the red zone, like you talked about, and then really start to transition that defense, that's going to be the key from the older guys to some younger guys. I think the Steelers are going to be fine. Kevin Colbert and that organization, they know exactly what they're doing.
Lance, thank you so much for your time. Great insights, and I look forward to us talking again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Ryan.
So, yeah, before we get to me being an idiot, I want to ask you, what do you think of Lance saying that he thinks that the veterans, Hines Ward especially, will have issues with Todd Haley's management style?
I agree. I mean, I think that Todd Haley, what did Steve Breston said that he's not always a butthole, I believe.
That's a compliment.
Yeah, I know. First of all, who cares what Hines Ward thinks? No offense to Hines Ward. He's not an integral part of that offense anymore, even if he is a veteran leader in the clubhouse. I think that these guys will have a problem with Todd Haley. He's abrasive. He's, by all accounts, arrogant. But he's also good at what he does. And you look at what he did with Kurt Warner. I mean, they had success. I told you, he made Matt Cassel a Pro Bowler. I don't care if it's his schedule that caused it to happen. He still got some good things out of Matt Cassel, who I think is a tremendously limited quarterback and overpaid by Scott Pioli. And Haley got some good stuff out of him. He also led an offense. Granted, they had Jamal Charles, but I mean, this was one of the top rushing offenses in football 1 year.
Well, what about this? What about this whole fact that – or not a fact. It's a rumor. Jim Wetzel, our friend at Steel City Insider, doesn't think it's much of an issue, but I'm going to bring it up because other people are bringing it up, that maybe Tomlin was forced into this hire. Maybe this is something that the Rooneys wanted that Tomlin didn't. What about that?
So someone who's in charge told someone who works for them that they were going to do something?
It's kind of undermining your coach, isn't it? A coach who's already won a Super Bowl and seems to be pretty good at his job.
I mean, I don't know. They want a new offensive coordinator. I mean, it's their football team.
I understand that, but this isn't the Snyders or the Jerry Joneses of the world.
How come Kevin Colbert's name isn't being mentioned in this at all?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, I'm sure that he's on board with whatever
he did. No, he met with Haley along with Art Rooney II. So it wasn't like he was in his office just watching videos.
That's what I'm saying. So he's probably on board with what the Rooneys are doing. I mean, look, Colbert knows what he's doing. This guy, I mean, look, he's restructuring contracts. He's making things happen. I mean, look, he does it every year. He gets them underneath the salary cap. He gets them to where they need to be, and he makes a competitive franchise.
Colbert has nothing to do with what Tomlin wants on his coaching staff. I mean, look, you have to understand, Haley's coming into a situation where none of these are his coaches underneath him, right? They're all assistants that Tomlin has hired and that Tomlin apparently is comfortable with.
I mean, deal with it. I mean, like, you're getting an offensive coordinator. Get along with him. Make him make the offense better. How much harder is that? I don't see what the issue is.
Just keep the guy that had run a top 10 offense for the last 5 years. Either way.
No, I mean, I mean, look, they wanted a new offensive coordinator. Arians. I mean, I don't know. Just because Arians and Roethlisberger are buddies. I mean,
look, like I said, I'm not an Arians apologist. I said it to Lance too. It just seems weird that this is the guy they settled on. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, I think Todd Haley will do a great job. I think you just don't like Todd Haley, and you're scared of change.
No, I'm scared of change. I could care less about Todd Haley. Kurt Warner says he loves him.
I mean, he and Ben are probably going to butt heads. That's okay. Teams can butt heads and be successful. If they win games, then everybody will get along, and everybody will say, great hire. And if they struggle, which the Steelers don't typically do, then people will be mad, and they'll blame it on Haley, and they'll run him.
Okay, fine. We'll just agree to disagree. I don't have any big issues with Todd Haley other than he played tennis in high school and didn't play football. That's my biggest issue. He'll be fine.
I played tennis in high school.
Exactly. There's my point. Now, look, here's the thing. I think I'll be interested to see how it works out. I'm not crazy about them instituting a new offense for a team that seemed to do pretty well. I don't disagree that they had red zone issues. We'll just see what happens, okay? How about that? I want to talk about Peyton Manning now.
Really? Again? This might as well be the Peyton Manning podcast.
It's going to be the Peyton Manning podcast. It's going to be like, who was it last year? Brett Favre?
Jeremy Lin. He's the Tim Tebow of the NBA. Yeah, it's going to be like Tebow last year and Favre the year before. Every day we got to talk about it. The latest thing I wrote is that I was breaking down the odds. Vegas has interesting odds. So Bovada, formerly Bodog, has actual odds you can bet on where Peyton Manning will go. None of them are great. I think the highest is like plus 500, which is 5-1. And then our buddy RJ Bell at pregame.com put together a list of percentages based on Vegas odds. And the two highest landing spots are retirement at 20% and the Dolphins at 20%. 78%, Vegas says there's a 78% chance that he plays for the Redskins, Colts, Dolphins, or Jets. I mean, no duh. Or maybe it's the Cardinals. But whatever. It's like there's a group of teams that just makes sense for Peyton to go to. I think that the Dolphins ultimately will be the landing spot. I think it makes too much sense. They have a great left tackle in Jake Long. They have a talented, albeit somewhat tenuously behaved wide receiver in Brandon Marshall. I don't even know if that's an appropriate adjective. They have Brandon Marshall. They have Devon Best. They have Reggie Bush, who I think would be a great fit with an offense that Peyton Manning would run. They don't need to change up too much offensively to get Peyton Manning in there, a la the Redskins. And they have a good defense, and they can compete in that division starting this year. I think that they're even though they struggled out to an 0-7 start, they're on par with a team like the Jets, especially if they get Peyton and he's healthy, and that they can hang with the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't know. But does Peyton want to face Tom Brady twice a year playing for the Dolphins? I think it's one thing to play for the Jets, who would probably be a little more competitive just based on recent history, than to go to South Florida where, you know, football isn't a priority down there. It may be on the football
team. It would
be
if Peyton comes down there.
Yeah. I don't know.
Did you see? I wrote in the post, because I always use that phrase "sexy" to talk about what Stephen Ross wants to do with the offense.
Yeah.
And it resulted in me writing, "And no one is sexier than Peyton Manning," which is something I never thought I'd write in my life, and instantly wanted to take back.
That's funny. You said it about 15 times in Indianapolis.
No, I was off the record then. So.
Oh, sorry, my bad. But I still like the Jets. I could see. I mean, the Dolphins make a lot of sense. Clearly, I see the Redskins because they're in every conversation about free agents. But I still like the Jets just because. Rex Ryan isn't afraid to go back on his word about virtually everything, and he sure. said time and again that Mark Sanchez is his boy, and Mark Sanchez will be his boy up to the moment that they sign Peyton Manning. And
I don't think it makes sense for Peyton from the perspective of going to New York. I mean, you're still playing Tom Brady twice a year.
Yeah, but you have a better team, and I know the whole
are Eli they thing. Are they better?
They play the Patriots better. I'll give them that at least.
I don't know. I think that their running game in there, their offensive line isn't as good as it was. Although Peyton obviously makes an offensive line better.
And look, Reggie Wayne is going wherever Peyton goes, so there's that too.
South Beach, man.
That's where he went to the U. I think he's from down there. So, I can see that. But he ain't going down there to play with Chad Henne part two or whoever ends up with that job.
No. And look, I mean, I don't think you can understate how much Peyton – I mean, he just went through a week's worth – of questions about his health and about Eli being better than him in Indianapolis, in his hometown. I mean, not his hometown, but in the place where he lives. Why would he want to root up to New York and deal with that every single week? Like, do you see Eli's play against the, you know, what'd you think about Eli's play? Plus the Dolphins get to go to Indy next year.
Well, if he wants to stay in Indy, stay in Indy. I don't understand. I mean, he can look. The guy is very good at handling the media. He's been doing it for 13 years now. I don't think that over 14 years. I don't think it'll be an issue having to talk about it.
That doesn't mean he wants to talk about it.
Well, he probably doesn't want to lose out on $28 million either, but it's going to happen. But what do you think about Polian saying the other day that he saw Peyton on New Year's Eve and he looked like he would be ready to go at some point soon?
Well, I think it's interesting, too. Chris Mortensen of ESPN, who is notoriously tight with the Manning family, said that after the reports of a noodle arm from Kravitz and can't throw to the left from he's not an ambi thrower from Mike Lombardi came out, all of a sudden Mortensen's reporting that Peyton looks great, he's really improved, and I'm sure he looks good, and I'm sure he has really improved his throwing strength. But you know, I mean, Mortensen's the same guy that leaked that Peyton had passed the physicals. I mean, no offense to Mort. But, I mean, he's tight with the Manning camp. You know?
Actually, to borrow a phrase from Leslie Knope, offense to Mort.
Yeah, offense. I mean, no, I mean, I think I like Mort. But, I mean.
Look, he's not fooling anybody, though. So he might as well save his breath. This is the same guy that was hugging Ryan Mallett at Pro Day because he's an Arkansas guy. It's just weird if you're in the media to be so obviously in, you know, somebody's back pocket.
Well, let's go ahead and delete that D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart video.
we make no bones about where we stand. We're
That's
not
true.
Claiming to be impartial.
That's true.
Except about Todd Haley.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, you aren't impartial about Todd Haley. You ain't making any bones about that. I think that the Redskins thing, I was at my bowling league last night, as you know.
goes without saying.
Yeah. If anybody's ever met me, that makes sense. And I and somebody – the first thing somebody – you know, everybody's like, how's the Super Bowl, man? How's the Super Bowl? And then somebody goes, is Peyton going to the Redskins? Got to be, right? And I was like, look, man, it doesn't – I mean, it makes sense from the perspective of Dan Snyder will do whatever it takes to get a big name. I think the only way he goes to the Redskins is if March 8th comes around, the Colts don't pick up his option, March 13th comes around, and Peyton hasn't proven that he's really healthy, and nobody else wants to gamble on him. And the Dolphins say, you know what? It's not worth it. Peyton's not healthy enough. Let's go get Matt Flynn, who, you know, we know, you know, better than anybody else, how he'll perform. And and then Peyton's kind of out there hanging, and the Redskins see a chance and take a stab at it. To me, as I wrote in that post, Robert Griffin III makes way more sense for the Redskins than Peyton Manning does even next year. That Robert, he would be perfect for that offense.
Yeah, and he costs just about as much to get.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you got to trade up. I mean, trade up to number two. I mean, whatever.
That's what it says on Dan Snyder's desk. Whatever.
Yeah, it is.
Get it done.
Yeah, it's his daily calendar. It just says whatever.
I don't disagree. No, I think Robert Griffin III would be much better than Peyton Manning. But, you know, Snyder has a history of getting sidetracked by shiny objects.
Yeah. And, I mean,
and to be fair, the Redskins have been better lately about that. But I don't, you know, Peyton Manning might be too big a fish to come swimming by the boat, not to cast out a line.
No, and it's true. I mean, like, you think about the idea of getting Peyton Manning on your team. I mean, think about what that 3 years ago, it was an impossibility. I mean, he was going to finish his career with the Colts. This is one of the all-time greatest quarterbacks. The idea of being able to get him on your roster, if he's healthy, I mean, it's a franchise changer. And if he's not healthy, it's the ultimate Redskins move.
All right, so give me your top team. You think it's Miami?
Yeah, I think it's Miami. I hate the Jets. Nobody's talking about the Seahawks. Is that weird?
No one ever talks about the Seahawks.
But they do. They do crazy things.
Yeah, I don't know. That does seem like a stretch. They'd have to change that offense. They're West Coast. Yeah. I just don't see it happening. I mean, Pete Carroll didn't go after Matt Leinart, which seemed to make a lot more sense than Peyton Manning would, because he knows Matt Leinart and he knows the system. And I'm not saying Matt Leinart is as good as Peyton Manning, but he seemed like he would be a better fit for what they want to do. And Carroll said, we'll stick with T-Jax.
No, that's true. And T-Jax looked good. I mean,
I was impressed with how he played. I was talking to Doug Farrar, our good buddy at the Super Bowl. He works for Yahoo, but he's a huge Seahawks fan. He wasn't quite as impressed, but. You know, I think he probably had higher expectations than we did. So we were just glad to see Jackson occasionally complete a pass.
That's his own fault for having high expectations of T-Jax.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the Dolphins at the pole position, and at number two, I have the Cardinals. I think they – look, why? They can draft offensive line to help and then
– No, I don't think it's a bad idea. I just think for the second straight year, they're going to be chasing a quarterback that probably isn't their – in their best interest long term.
See, but I agree. Long term, it probably doesn't benefit them, but it's Kurt Warner 2.0, slightly arriving.
Kurt's healthy.
But, I mean, Kurt Warner came into Arizona not as, like, the savior. I mean, and you get to dump Kevin Cobb's contract.
Yeah, but, I mean.
That's like a benefit to signing Manning, is you get to get out from under that albatross.
I understand, but don't sign Cobb in the first place. That's how you avoid that.
Well, yeah, but, I mean. You know,
but everybody knew that. That's not like, you know, I'm breaking news here.
Yeah, but don't throw bad money after good, you know what I mean? Or good money
you're
after
doing that if you get Manning.
No, you're doing that if you keep Kevin Cobb there. By the way, look at Larry Fitzgerald's stats, man. That dude is a beast.
Maybe they shouldn't just have a quarterback this year. That might be their best option.
Larry Fitzgerald in the option with Chris Wells or Beanie Wells and Ryan Williams. All right, so the Raiders cut Stanford Route, and it looks like Reggie McKenzie, the new GM, might come in and whack some out of whack contracts. I kind of like this move. I think Route got an out of whack deal. I mean, he's right. An out of whack deal from Al Davis and
5 years, $50 million.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a lot?
Yeah, it does.
He wasn't awful. I mean, he's a good cornerback, but he's not
one of the top five cornerbacks in the NFL.
I don't know if they asked him to restructure and he said no or what the deal is, but they got rid of him, and I don't have an issue with that.
I think if you're Reggie McKenzie, look, I mean, everybody keeps talking about the Raiders being close. That's all good and well. Come in and clean house, man. Get it where you want it, and then go with a roster that you're happy with. If you're the new GM, I don't see why you have to. I hate the idea that you can't come in and clean house. That's why I like what the Colts are doing, especially if they don't keep Manning. I mean, to me, when you're in limbo like that, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to go with a full rebuild.
I guess, but I mean, the team was pretty close. They were up until the point they traded for Carson Palmer. They were playing really well.
Well, yeah, that's part of the problem is you've got that.
Now I don't know. Else. Jason Campbell's going to be a free agent. I thought he did better.
He ain't coming back there.
No, I'm just saying that they gave up all that for Carson Palmer. I'm not sure that Jason Campbell wasn't just as good as he was. That's my point.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the gamble on Palmer was predicated on making the playoffs and winning that division and maybe making it, you know, deep into the playoffs, and it didn't work. And it was a fail. I mean, fail.
Upside, they saved on that second first-round pick, so they got that going for them.
Did they save on that?
Well, it was going to be a first and a first. Now it's a first and a second that they gave.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true.
So there's that.
Yeah, so congrats, Raiders. I think they have like they can't do a whole lot in the draft. I mean, that's why I like the idea of like limit your, you know, you don't have many options in the draft. So you're cutting these guys who might cost you money against a salary cap. I think Rout was guaranteed $5 million if he was on the team as of today. That's a report out there. So go out there and give yourself some options of free agency. You know, I mean, you got.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got around the NFL. Oh, Fred Jackson's supposed to get an extension for the Bills. You like it?
Yeah, I do like it. I don't know how much it's for, but he was awesome.
Yeah, he was. Clark Judge was arguing MVP for him, and I think he had a legitimate case. I mean, up until he got hurt, obviously, but he was.
CJ Spiller played well in his absence, so that's something they have going forward. Apparently, Ryan Fitzpatrick was hurt. He had cracked ribs during the season. That's why he started to play poorly. We saw him last Friday night at the Playboy party. He was having more fun than we were. But, yeah, no, I think I have no issue with that move whatsoever.
Wait, who did we see at the Playboy party?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He didn't make the blue carpet.
No, he didn't have time for us.
Be interesting to see what they, yeah, I mean, I think they got to keep, look, they had a good offense for much of the year. It collapsed after Fitzpatrick signed that contract. I think he can come back and be, well, I mean, it did. Steve Johnson told me he thinks it's just a coincidence, the timing of that.
Well, he was hurt when we found out. He had cracked ribs.
Well, yeah, but I think you come back with Fitzpatrick, Fred Jackson, Stevie Johnson, and you can have a pretty, you know, with the way Chan Gailey does stuff, you can have a dynamic enough offense. Just keep drafting defense if you're the Bills.
Yeah. No, I have no issue with that.
Yeah. What else we got? Oh, Alex Smith caddied for Jim Harbaugh. So there's that.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. That reminded me of this. You know, Rodney Harrison going up for Gronkowski dancing, which I completely disagree with. We talked about that before. But yeah. I thought it was odd that we didn't hear anything from Rodney Harrison about Bill Belichick playing in the Pebble Beach program.
Yeah, I know, and he didn't play in a hoodie, which is really disappointing.
Played in a collared hoodie.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing as celebrating after the game. And look, these guys who played back in the Patriots when they won their early Super Bowls say things like, oh, we would have done that in my day. Well, you didn't have YouTube in your day, so nobody knows whether you did it or not in your day. I mean, don't sit there and say you didn't do anything following a Super Bowl loss. I mean, that party is there. You're 23. You have nothing to prepare for. Just because Rob Gronkowski can take 50 Jaeger bombs and dance doesn't mean that he wasn't, you know, I mean, he went out and gave it his all. It makes me mad that it's pot stirring is what it is.
You know what 50 Jaeger bombs and a shirtless dancing is for Gronkowski? It's called rehab.
It's called Tuesday night.
It's called rehab.
Yeah. And then he did gym tan and laundry. what do you think about Chad Johnson changing his name?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm over Chad.
It's good timing, I think, because the new uniforms are coming back. When he changed his name to Ocho Cinco, he had to pay Reebok a bunch of money.
Right, yeah.
For the unsold jerseys. This year, after the season, once you change your name, you can go back to Johnson, and you don't have to pay Reebok for the unsold jerseys because it's switching over to Nike.
I'm shocked that Harrison wasn't upset about Ocho Cinco doing this instead of crying in his room.
Did you check out the post I wrote on the sound effects? I'm sure you watched it. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, it was really good. I did like it.
Belichick looked at them and said, make him go to Manningham.
That's exactly what you have to say. I mean, Manningham has plenty of drops in the postseason. He had that big drop earlier in the game on a ball he should have caught. I think Patrick Chung was in coverage, maybe Sterling Moore. But nobody in a million years thought he was going to catch that pass.
No. And look, I mean, that's, you know, you put him in a position where you said, look, make him go to Manningham. Eli looked to Victor Cruz. He looked to Akeem Nix. He looked to Jake Ballard. He couldn't find anybody. So he threw a freaking teardrop into Mario Manningham that was beautifully caught, beautifully thrown. It was a great defense by the Patriots. They did all they could to keep you know, Manningham from being able to catch that ball, and they just made a great play. You know, they made more plays than us.
Two things. When you watch the replay, it looks like Manning isn't even looking where he's throwing. He just has his eyes closed, and he throws something up to the heavens. Number two, Manningham catches it about 2 feet from Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure Belichick's like, really, dude? Really? Yeah. You're going to catch that ball?
And Belichick then had to challenge it.
Yeah,
because it's a high, you know, in hindsight, you know, obviously you wish you had that timeout back, I guess. But it was a high reward challenge. And, you know, I mean, you know, no risk, really, because you're just trying to move it back to that you know, back in their own red zone. It was an unfortunate spot for Bill Belichick to be in. I also thought it was interesting that Brady came back and told Bill O'Brien that he did, in fact, throw the ball away on that safety.
Well, excuse me, I'm yawning because you're boring me at this point. But, yeah, no, I think that's I had no issue with that. I thought it was even interesting, too, that the defense is like, all right, we're going to let him score. Like Vince Wilfork had to repeat it a couple
of times. Yeah. He's like, let them. Like, how did Ahmad Bradshaw not hear them? It's like he's screaming, let them score.
Well, it's funny because Ahmad Bradshaw said that Eli told him specifically, do not score. And that's why he, you know, kind of didn't know what to do when he's at the end zone. And sort of he said he fell in or tripped or something. I was trying to watch Eli on the replay. Eli actually held his hands up as if to say touchdown. So I don't know.
I think he held his hands up to say, what the hell are you doing?
That very well could have been. Because, you know, Wilfork left the field and said, yep, we've got a minute and a timeout, which at the 20-yard line is a lot of time for Tom Brady.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of time. All right, so God, I'm getting killed for saying the Dolphins have an easy schedule. I guess they do play the 49ers, Texans, Bengals. So I was saying that Peyton should go there, but whatever. Anyway, that's all we got. We'll be back Monday to break down. First, God, is this the first Sunday without football in a long time? It is.
I think.
It's a sad, sad Monday. Eat dinner with your family.
Yeah, no kidding.
Say hello to your wife. Prepare for Valentine's Day. Get scrambling on those reservations. In the meantime, subscribe via iTunes, and we'll talk to everybody soon. We'll be right back.